Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and I tell you, there's no better time to talk to Brian Billick than this, because there's so many times that so many things going on as far as offenses. And of course, Brian Billick is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Billick. And Brian, I mean, because you've been such a great offensive mind for so many years, what are you seeing right now, and how would you kind of sum up where offenses are going in the National Football League? Because there's so much change.
Yeah, it's getting interesting. I was in Baltimore the other day, and obviously they're going through a transformation with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. And it was interesting. I asked John Harbaugh what he thought the over-under would be on Lamar Jackson running the ball this year. And I used the benchmark of Cam Newton, 2017. He ran 139 times. And he, without hesitation, immediately said, oh, it'll be over. And that's stunning to me, the fact that they intend to run Lamar Jackson probably close to 200 times this year. And that's going to be, you know, there's no question he can be productive. They've added Mark Ingram in the backfield as well. The question is, can you indeed keep your quarterback healthy running him that much in the NFL? We see down in Arizona, obviously they are all in terms of this transformation with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury bringing in from Texas Tech as the head coach. This is going to be an interesting litmus test. Are we indeed in this sea change where we're going to see more of this style of play, this college-style play, coming into the NFL? I'm one that's still and hesitant. Maybe I'm just old school. I still believe that you have to have a guy that can beat you from the pocket. But we have two teams unabashedly saying, no, we're gonna change the style of play in the National Football League.
But can a quarterback hold up 200 carries in a season? I mean, we watched Cam Newton, and he never changed his style. You hope he changes it this year, because he wants to destroy the linebacker trying to tackle him, and now he's had two shoulder surgeries in the last couple of years and couldn't throw the ball deep. I mean, you know, he got beat up like a lot of running quarterbacks do.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. And also keep in mind now, Cam Newton is a man. This is a big man. This is a 245, 250-pound. You look at Lamar Jackson, they list him at 112 or 212. If he's 200 pounds by the time the season starts, I'll be shocked. He doesn't have the girth of a Cam Newton. So that's exactly right. I don't question the ability of a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray to be able to expand and be dynamic in the run game. The question is, can they survive a 16-game season in the National Football League? The backup in Baltimore, RG3, is a perfect case in point. He's about the same size as Lamar Jackson. He's about 6'2", and he's probably somewhere around 200 pounds. And saw how dynamic he could be in that first year, but then we saw what happened after that. So that you're exactly right. There's no question it can be productive. But can you last an entire NFL season doing it?
Yeah, and that's what I think is going to be the big question mark, because, I mean, you already see RG3's hurt. He's got a broken thumb and is going to miss some probably 6-7 weeks or so. And, again, that's just one of those bad breaks, not anything to do with a running quarterback. But what you wonder about is that can you be a running quarterback with no baseball skills? Because that's the one thing I think has helped, like in the case of Russell Wilson, it'll help in Kyler Murray. You know, if you have that baseball pass, you know how to try to avoid some of those hits.
Yeah, and I think in visiting with Greg Roman up in Baltimore, and I imagine it's the same in Arizona, they're very focused on what they're going to ask him to do from the pocket, the runs, you know, and that's the big question too. It's, okay, how many called quarterback runs do I make, knowing that it's organically going to happen as well? If he's going to run the ball 14, 15, 20 times a game, yeah, then how much is that an orchestrated run? They don't want it to be between the tackles. They feel that's where he would be the most vulnerable. So I think we're going to see a lot of things on the edge, maybe an RPO, one read, read the backer, read the safety. If it's not there, get to the outside, try to break the defense down with your legs or getting the ball down the field that way. But let's also keep in mind the other guys get paid too on the defensive side. So what are they going to do? Like we saw in the San Diego playoff game against Baltimore, I think you're going to see 8-man fronts fill the lanes and make these types of quarterbacks work within the pocket or run between the tackles.
Yeah, it's interesting because you see like the negotiations going on right now with Ezekiel Elliott that right now aren't getting done as far as his holdout and that, and you see how they're handling things with Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. There seems to be a new emphasis on running the football, not just with the quarterback, but with the running backs. Yet this is still a league that doesn't want to pay running backs. There's only nine running backs in the league making over $6 million a year, three making over 10, and that doesn't compare to the quarterbacks making over 30.
Yeah, and it really becomes a matter of the math that other than I think Ezekiel Elliott was the only guy with a 300 plus carries last year. It's different than in the old day when you would have four or five guys and that 300 plus touches, 300 plus carries out of the backfield. That's not what people are doing today. When you have an Ezekiel Elliott, when you have a Melvin Gordon, yeah, you're going to rely on them, but it's still going to be a matter of total touches, running back by committee to a degree, less so with those individuals, and what do you pay for that? And then certainly, obviously, what is the shelf life for a running back that would approach 30 when we recognize that the number of total hits on a back does affect his total productivity. So, yeah, it's kind of a tough one to negotiate.
Yeah, it really is. But there is, you can see from even last year's championship games, the AFC and the NFC, all four teams that were there were among the four best scoring offenses in the league, but they all had a good running game. And that was all part of it because it balances off with the quarterbacks that they had.
Yeah, and every coach will tell you they want to be balanced. Now, balanced in the league is 60% run or 60% pass, 40% run. Very few teams are actually get into that 50-50 where they're truly balanced because you still have to throw the ball down the field. And as we saw in the championship games, you also have some pretty good quarterback play. So that is the combination that you certainly, if you can base this on a running game, that takes a little pressure off the quarterback for him to operate on his own terms.
The look at where this league is going with the offense, and you can see that everybody wants the next Sean McVay. If they can't get the next Sean McVay, they still want an offensive play caller that can come in there and change things around, work with the quarterback, and that at some point, don't they run out of guys that can be in those positions? Because there's not a lot of coordinators right now that are getting a chance because 14 or so are calling their own plays who are head coaches.
Yeah, the guru quotient gets a little low, obviously, once you get through these changes. And obviously, like anything, it goes in cycles. You're right. Everybody's looking for a Sean McVay. But something else, and if indeed we see these quarterbacks in Baltimore and in Arizona have some success with a more college-based system, I think we'll see an onslaught of a bunch of college guys maybe coming into the NFL or not. We'll see. Remember, the run and shoot was going to revolutionize and come into the league, never materialized. Chip Kelly came into it and had a little bit of success, but ultimately did not happen in Philadelphia. So, yeah, this is a copycat league. But when we see some of the defensive guys that have become head coaches, if indeed they have success early, then we'll see people following that trend saying, oh, no, yeah, we got to go back to getting defensive guys as our head coach.
Yeah, but that's what I'm wondering about with the college coaches, because if you're a good college coach and you've got a good contract, which now they can all get, coming into the league, if you're going to be a good college coach, you can stay there forever if you're successful. You're going to have total control over everything. Where you come into the NFL, it may be a 2-3 year cycle, and you're not going to get the same control.
And that is a new factor now because the contracts are getting big enough. And the thing that I hear most often from college coaches when they query me about coming into the NFL is that, the wonder, does my stuff work? Will it work in the NFL? And can they interact with the pro athlete, the veteran pro athlete, the way they do, obviously, with young college kids? So, yeah, there are legitimate questions about making that move.
That's what I
wonder about too, because when you look at the way colleges are, you know, it's like it's made it tough for the NFL to take the quarterbacks and make that quick adjustment, even though they're throwing, you know, they're throwing from spread offenses and air raid offenses. That's why I'm so interested in what happens with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, because he's now the first full coach to come in with a pure college offense. And I don't, you probably haven't had a chance to see it. I haven't had a chance to see it. How do you see that working out?
Well, we'll see. Obviously, it's they're all in, and they believe in Kyler Murray and believe he's going to be the linchpin. I'm sure they're also thinking, well, you know what? We think we see a little Pat Mahomes here. But the difference for me would be Pat Mahomes is a legitimate NFL quarterback that can beat you from the pocket, just like Russell Wilson. They can do some dynamic things out the pocket, but if you leave them in the pocket, they've shown that they can do that. That's what remains to be seen, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Kyler Murray, whether they can truly operate from within the pocket and do the things that these quarterbacks, so that juxtaposition and that connection is saying, well, with Kyler Murray, we think we're going to get the next Pat Mahomes. Well, maybe, maybe not. We're going to see. Maybe he can operate within that. But the pure college system that we're talking about, that is just a, you know, Greg Roman told me we're going to see a whole bunch of quick screens on the outside and one-step smoke routes, a lot of RPOs. And the question will be, okay, can you indeed win with that system, and will it translate in the NFL league-wide?
Yeah, because I would imagine that, because you know, if you do that, I mean, you're going to be moving the ball pretty quickly, but then it might be still hard to get those big plays downfield.
Yeah, and that's a part of it. Can it be sustained? It's great to go up and down the field and, you know, a la the Chip Kelly mode. We run a lot of plays and we crank down a lot of clock, but if you don't score in the red zone, if it's not proficient in the red zone, then it's like empty calories in a diet. You're just up in the field, up and down the field, and that's all well and good to say, yeah, we have time of possession and we crank out a lot of yards, but does it produce scores? Can you get the big play? And so, it'll be interesting. Clearly, we've seen the league has transitioned since, you know, I was in the league when, you know, it would be 60% base and 40% nickel, and then it flopped and became 40% base, 60% nickel. Defensive coordinators will tell you today, you know, league-wide, for the most part, you're in base defense maybe 25% of the time. So it's not like the other more traditional NFL offenses aren't expanding and becoming a little more wide open. But obviously what we're talking about in Baltimore and Arizona takes it to the next level.
With Sean McVay and Doug Peterson and some of the good coaches on offense doing it, I'm kind of wondering if what we saw a little bit last year, our defense is starting to catch up. And I know we watched it with what Bill Belichick did with 2 weeks to prepare. I mean, he completely shut down. He kind of went to a form of the Bears defense from back in the Chicago Bear days in the 80s, you know, with the 46, a little 46 look. And it really kind of went back to what Matt Patricia did against the Rams in early December, where he figured out some things to cut down some of the stuff on the perimeter. Where do you think defenses are right now in trying to catch up, and where will it go next year, this season?
They'll adjust. There's no question about it. I mean, all year long, with the explosion with the Rams and Kansas City and everybody up and down the field, and we thought, okay, this is life in the NFL now. Everything's going to be a 52-48 game. And then we get to the Super Bowl, and what do we see? A low scoring, barely double digit, teams adjusting. So, yeah, defenses will adjust. They've got some, you know, great athletes to do that with. And, again, it comes down to can you, if you're going to subscribe to that style of play, when you have that eight-man front, when we build that box, when we, you know, keep you in the pocket and bring that field and fill the rush lanes, can you still produce? And that's going to be the challenge for these new wave of offenses.
One thing I think has been interesting, it's really kind of changed the game, is the defenseless receiver rule, where it's like you can't really get a hit on a receiver that he really can't be ready for. How much does that open things up? Because now you can have smaller, quicker, faster receivers or whatever, even running backs, going into the middle of the field without fear, and that puts some pressure on the secondaries.
Yeah, it's huge. There's no question that the rule changes in that regard. I was talking to someone the other day, you know, about that great defense that we had in Baltimore in the 2000 championship, where we broke the all-time scoring record, the lowest scoring defense in the history of the league. And that's, and records are made to be broken, but in this instance, that record will never, ever be broken. Not the least of which is the game has changed because of the way you're protecting the quarterback, the way you're protecting the defenseless receivers. So I can't imagine anybody coming close to breaking that defensive record because the game has changed. And it does put a lot more pressure in terms of the secondary and your ability to match up. But that, again, defenses can adjust to that in terms of the size. That's the next trend that I think we may see. Is teams have gotten so much smaller on defense because of this spread game. If you're a team that wanted to commit to a big physical, you know, the big tight ends, the big offensive line, and now on a weekly basis, now I'm just going to get into basic formation and get downhill running, and I'm going to bludgeon you to death because you're undersized on defense, I think we could see some teams evolving that way as well.
Is that what we saw last year from the New England Patriots? I mean, kind of going back almost into the 70s with a two-back physical formation and just kind of powering the ball with the run?
Yeah, to a degree. Now, let's remember, that's also Tom Brady pulling the trigger back there, so that's certainly going to be a factor as well. But if I were to come back into the NFL, if you're looking for that, okay, what can separate me from the other teams? I'd think real long and hard about maybe putting together that big kind of physical team we're just talking about, that week in, week out, when you're playing all these other spread offenses, and that's what you're built for defensively, and now you're playing a team that can line up and just come downhill at you, that's tough to adjust to.
What do you see right now coming from the Seahawks? Last year, they went back to the running game. They led the league in rushing. They got bigger with, on the offensive line. They got, great offensive line coaching, and they ended up scoring 26.8 points a game, 30 points a game in the last second half of the season on the average. They lose Doug Baldwin, but they've got a lot of good young receivers, along with Tyler Lockett, who's really starting to develop as a potential number one.
Yeah, and that's the way Pete Carroll wants to win. That's going to be his formula. It always has been. They're going to be a solid running team. Obviously, play great defense. And if you want to run the ball in the National Football League, you've got to play great defense. Not good defense, but great defense. Now, certainly they're going through a little bit of transition, particularly in the secondary. I don't know that it's quite still the Legion of Boom, but it's pretty darn good. And that's going to be the challenge. Can they continue to be as solid on defense? There's no reason to think. I mean, they've got the pedigree. They're going to be solid on defense. Are they going to be a dominating defense? They were kind of middle of the pack last year. Obviously, they were the number one running team in the National Football League, but they were kind of middle of the pack in terms of their defense, and then particularly in big plays. They uncharacteristically gave up some big plays. So I imagine that's going to be the challenge for them. When you've got a big play offense like they have and Russell Wilson breaks you down in just that way, it was offset a little bit in that the Seahawks were 20th in league in defense and giving up big plays.
Yeah, but the one thing that was kind of interesting is I went through this thing and I took it back to 2008, and there was only six incidents where this didn't work. If you have a top seven quarterback in the league and you have a running game and you can hold a team, you can have the average of 23 points or less, you're going to win eight or nine games. And I used that formula before the season on Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck. And even though the Colts defense was kind of late in coming on, that formula seems to work.
Sure it does. It always has, in terms of the standpoint of it's all integrated in terms of time possession. This game has been and always will be about two majority things. There's a lot of stats you can throw out there, but it's turnovers and big plays. And it's an interactive. It's not a matter of just getting turnovers. You can't turn the ball over. It's not a matter of just getting big plays. You can't give up big plays. So those are the two biggest determinants for success. And when you can combine clock management and running the ball down, that's where, again, Seattle fell just a little short last year in terms of the number of big plays they gave up. If they can indeed get back in that mode where they've been pretty good at not giving up big plays, they can have the number one rushing offense. They've got Russell Wilson that is so good and able to break some things down on third down. You've got to protect them a little bit better, but I come back to those big plays that they gave up last year. I imagine that's right now Pete Carroll's biggest focus.
Yeah. Finally, you were always the best in being able to figure out different formulas and different things like that. Has there been any new ones on offense that you've figured out in the last couple of years?
Not really. Even though we're seeing this expansion in some of the spread offenses and some of the things going on, all the things we've just talked about, when you go back, it's amazing how little the numbers have really changed in terms of the number of plays teams run, the time of possession, the formula, as I said, in terms of turnover ratio, touchdown inter ratio, or I should say big play interconnectedness in terms of giving up plays, big plays, getting big plays. You know, the game is still the same. As much as we say it's changing and there's a lot of things going on, and as I say, it still goes back to you got to have dynamic play from the pocket, from the quarterback. Getting outside can be great. It's a nice adjunct to it, but if you don't have that guy that can beat you from the pocket, then you're going to struggle.
Brian, it's always great to talk to you, and of course you can follow Brian on the NFL Network, also at Twitter at Coach Billick. Thanks so much for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
Sounds great.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.